It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 335. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please remember to visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow. Also, Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can send me an email, so lots of ways to get a hold of me. My email address, miketechshow@gmail.com. Send me your questions, any suggestions for future show topics. I have a busy broadcasting schedule this week. Tomorrow night, or Friday night, whenever you're hearing this, I will be co-hosting Computer America with Carrie Holzman. And that is the 17th of December. That's Computer America's final show of the year. Then they go into best of for the rest of the year. So look for Carrie and I to kind of wrap up the year in tech and predictions and maybe, you know, what we think for trends for next year. So we're going to have a great time. Also, I want to promote Geek News Central's 24-hour podcast. That's this Saturday, the 18th. I have signed up for the 4 to 5 hour, where it's going to be the Tech Podcast Network Christmas gift guide. So I'm going to talk about some geek items for Christmas gifts, stocking stuffers, all kinds of stuff. So it will be a lot of fun. That's Saturday. And pay attention to Twitter, because if I'm going to be on at another point during the 24-hour show, look for that. I will tweet that. So I got to take a look at my schedule and then take a look at what's free, what time slots Todd has free, and I may jump in for some free slots that he has to help him out with that. For next week's schedule, the Christmas show will be Wednesday night, not Thursday. It will be the 22nd of December, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and that will be the Christmas show. The following week, I will do New Year's Eve. There'll be no show Thursday night. I'll do my show 10 o'clock New Year's Eve. That will be fun. I'll do that from 10 to 11. I'll record and then hang out for as long as I can last. And in the past, sometimes that's been till 4 or 5 in the morning. So this will be the third annual New Year's Eve with the Mike Tech Show. So looking forward to that. A big, big thank you to everyone who is using my Amazon link on the Mike Tech Show website in the upper left-hand corner. I really appreciate it. You're really coming through this month. I can see it. We're halfway through the month, and I'm already at the highest amount that I've ever earned for any month. That was fantastic. So keep, and that's, we're only halfway through the month. Now remember, Amazon has incredible shipping. You still have plenty of time. Go through my website, click on the link, and then you're going to be able to buy really anything for Christmas. If you don't have anything, you know, an Amazon gift certificate is a great gift. So this way, that friend, the family member, whoever that you want to give it to, they can then buy anything they want. Just a plug for my Amazon link, and I really appreciate everybody using it. Let's get started. For everybody who was in the pre-show last week, I usually get on a half hour before I'm going to go live. So last week, I had a terrible, terrible problem where I basically got on at, it was almost 8 o'clock. The reason, I had to reboot my system, and when I rebooted, Windows 7, upon starting up, decided to install all of the updates for the operating system that I have missed. I keep my system on round the clock all the time, and there were 25 updates that I was behind on, and I had to wait for every one of those updates to happen, and it took over a half hour. It was painful as I had to watch one of 25, two of 25, and it's been one of my biggest complaints about Windows 7, where I do want them, but I want to control when they're going to be installed. So the first link for tonight, and this is compliments of Kate, who heard my dilemma last week and sent me a link to stopping Windows Update from hijacking the sleep or shutdown button. What this gives you is a registry entry that you can easily download and add to your registry in Windows 7, and it now creates a secondary shutdown option. So instead of just hitting shutdown where it will not install the updates, it's added an option, install updates and shutdown. So now you have both, and you can take control of whether you want updates to happen when you're shutting down. Now, there are times where I don't mind, where I have time. But when I have to do an emergency reboot and I got to go on the air live, I don't have the time to wait for all those updates to apply. And I'm sure a lot of you are in the same boat with this Windows update. So this is a great registry tip. And thank you, Kate, for sending me that. I have installed it, tested it, and it works, and I am very happy now. So if I have to do a reboot, I now can decide whether I want those updates to apply or not. So thank you very much. With that, let's go on to some more. This is a tip from Jim, and he writes about the user state migration tool. Learn how to use the user state migration tool, USMT, to migrate user files and settings from Windows XP to Windows 7 using a default installation. This is a great idea. It's something that before my big project over the summer that I talked about for a client, I have not taken the time to go through that and use that utility. And I'm going to have the link to that. And it's from the TechNet site on Microsoft. That's something that I absolutely want to create an XP setup with Office, put some data, put some, you know, links on the couple browsers, then use that tool to see how it works on a new Windows 7 installation. I have the systems. As a matter of fact, a couple weeks ago, my oldest son came up. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast or not. He helped me organize the one side of the office that you cannot see when you're watching me live on Ustream, but to the my right along the wall, there was a terrible collection of mess that made me, when was channel flipping and watch Hoarders, it really scared me. You know, when you see Hoarders, you'll know what I mean. Anybody who sees that, you watch that show and it just makes you want to clean your house and just do whatever it takes to clean. Well, I see me building up just too much of a mess under the table. And so I got my kids to help me organize it. I threw out a ton of stuff. That's where I found things that I was talking about in the pre-show. I found this Dell pen that's also a USB stick. And I hadn't seen that in 2 years. That was in a box. Just a terrible mess. Things that I could keep, things that need to be thrown out. So what I've built, the switch, the KVM switch that I used for a project over the summer that I purchased to help me with a client to mass work on, you know, multiple systems, I set that 8-port switch up, and I kid you not, they're not all on right now because that would kill the electric bill. But I have 8 computers lined up underneath the long desk 2 servers, 6 workstations that I've collected over time, and they're all decent systems, you know, some of them. I mean, they're old, but enough that they're very good test systems. And so what I'm going to do is one of the systems, you already know, it's got Small Business Server 2008. Another one, I'm going to just put Server 2008 on. I have a Linux project that I'm going to be working on that I will talk about down the road. I want one system for that. And then I got some test workstations that I can just use for things like I just talked about, user migration tool and some other projects. So I needed a better test environment and I needed the room to be able to do it. So that was nice to get done. And the switch that I am referencing, I will put a link to that. That's from monoprice.com. You know I love that site. They are not a sponsor. You get incredible prices for not only cables, but you can these KVM switches. There's so many things that you can take a look at. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of the items that I've purchased and used that are very inexpensive from Monoprice that I'm going to talk about Saturday afternoon on the Tech Podcast Christmas special at 4 o'clock. I'm going to share some of them. Incredible stocking stuffers for the geek in your life that are inexpensive that you cannot live without. So there's some of the things that I'm going to be talking about on the show. All right, let's get to some more email here. This is from Richard. Mike, I love my Logitech illuminated keyboard, which I have and I've talked about. I love it. I wish I had bought more of them a couple years ago on a Black Friday where they were going for $79. Staples had them, no rebate, $29. I love, love, love the Logitech illuminated keyboard. The next time I see a sale for them, I am stockpiling them. I'm buying a couple more. So no matter what happens, I have a replacement. Everybody is going to like a keyboard or a mouse because it's a very personal thing. You may not like what I like, but just the feel, having it be illuminated, the touch, the response. If you have a chance to look at it, it's the Logitech illuminated keyboard. Anyway, let me finish the email here. He says, it has been acting strange lately. When I turn on the computer in the morning, the keyboard will not turn on. No lights or key operations. Now, during the boot process, I know the lights come off. And then the system has to start. And once it gets going, and I get, you know, all the drivers are loaded, then the lights come on. I've noticed that. He continues, the keyboard will not turn on, no lights or key operations. I may have to shut down and restart the computer several times until the keyboard lights up and becomes functional. Once working, the keyboard functions normal throughout the day and goes in and out of sleep mode with no problems. Any ideas as to what may be causing the initial startup problem? I've heard you mention that you have had the same keyboard. I enjoy the show. Thank you. And this is, I called him Richard because of his email, but this is a Dick. Dick, thank you very much for the email. Now, a couple things to try. One, I want you to take that keyboard and I want you to take it to another computer and I want you to try to use that. Does the same thing happen? If it does, we got a defective keyboard possibly. Contact Logitech. It's probably under warranty. You'll get a replacement. The next thing is try another keyboard on the same USB port. Are you having a problem with the USB port? Now, something else to try. Mark in the chat just mentioned it could be the voltage that's associated with the particular USB port, and there's just maybe not enough juice for that. It's possible. Try a different port. But what I'd like you to also try is another keyboard. Now, unfortunately, you probably don't have another one that has lights so you can try it, so that's going to make it tough. But we definitely want to try your keyboard on another system and see how it reacts. Then we have a baseline to say, the keyboard works or doesn't work, and then that's going to be a quick elimination of the problem. So let me know. Maybe you've tried that and you didn't state it in the email, and let me know what's happening. But it sounds like it's either a defective USB port or a defective keyboard. There's something else to try, and this does not hurt. Go into Device Manager, remove the keyboard, reboot. It'll auto-install the keyboard and detect it. You may need to have to refresh the USB built-in driver for the Microsoft operating system. It may just need to be refreshed. Don't be afraid to remove a piece of hardware. This has gotten me out of a lot of trouble, especially wireless adapters, which can go flaky. Don't be afraid to go into Device Manager and pull it out. Remove it. Reboot. Let it detect. Let it come back. And you know what? So you just uninstall it. Let it come back. And that has fixed a lot of hardware problems on systems for clients. And it really works with USB devices and things that you have plugged in. You know, things get messed up. You just let it reinstall, it'll go back, it'll refresh those files, and you might be good to go. So it's just something else to try. This is a long email, bear with me, and it's from a longtime listener and supporter of the show, Haroon, and it's in response going way back to show 299, and it's the change management process. Give a listen to this. Sorry, I've been very busy and not had time to record and edit the audio for this. I'll just copy and paste my notes into an email. He had sent me an audio file that it was just the audio wasn't good enough and I couldn't repair it to be able to play it. So here we go. In show 299, you talked about how a client who will not implement a change management process, regardless of all your efforts. I am an IT auditor by trade, and I run into this problem all the time. I thought I would give you some tips on what tricks I use to convince my clients to implement a robust change management process. Sorry, I know this won't be of interest to all your listeners out there, but change management process is very, very important. If your client is a medium or large size company, they will have external financial auditors come in annually to test their financial controls. As technology underpins a majority of financial controls and applications, the auditors would be interested in looking at change management. A lack of such a process will result in them having to perform more work. If a change management process was in place, auditors only need to test a very small sample of items, as they can then place reliance on the IT controls. This dramatically reduces the amount of work they perform, and therefore there should be a reduction in audit fees. I'm sure your client's management board would be happy if they heard you could save them money, especially in these economic times. Without a robust change management process, an unauthorized change to sensitive applications, HR, payroll, finance, can lead to corrupting those applications. If that was to happen and the application couldn't be used, how long could the business run without it? How much would it cost the business? A day? I'm sure if this was to happen, management would be breathing down IT's neck to fix it as soon as possible and to find the cause of the problem. You never know if it was a very serious problem. Somebody's heads may roll. So this is a bit of a scare tactic to get them to build and implement a change management process. Unauthorized changes can also allow someone to gain unauthorized access to sensitive applications. If someone did gain such access, there is a risk of fraud. Someone could increase their salary in the payroll application, or somebody could make changes in accounting applications to modify sales, profit figures. If the authorities discovered this, it could be both financially and reputationally damaging to your client. This is where the birth of Sarbanes-Oxley, SOX, and Sarbanes-Oxley compliance came from, and the controls, and it was all due to Enron and them misrepresenting all that information, and that's why you have to have controls. So that's how that was born, how SOX was born because of this. So normally, one of the above reasons, or a combination of the three, usually scares them into action. So, what does a robust change management process consist of? Well, for each change of the IT environment, both hardware or software, there needs to be a change request form. This can be either electronic or paper copy, and should outline what the change consists of, the time required for the change to be implemented, if any downtime will be incurred, and what the rollback plan is, if it doesn't go into the plan. Two, the form should have signatures from appropriate individuals within the business to show authorization for the change to be developed. This filters out the good and useful changes from the not so good. Testing, both technical and user acceptance testing. Also, approval into production. These signatures should be from separate individuals to show segregation of duties exist. I'm now going to interject some of my input to that form. The form should also have a place for notifying the user community. You should really rate the impact of the change and have some kind of a rating system. Is it a major impact to the business, or is it a small impact? You should also assess the risk of the change and what the risk would have on the production system. So you may want to put two ratings there. So someone who's approving it to say, wait a second, this is low risk and it affects barely anybody, it'll be easier to get approved. So you definitely want to make those assessments and add that to it. There are probably other things custom to your organization that you would want to look at and add to this form. This form can be a simple Word document to get started that you then email to the appropriate people for signature and then store it in a secure directory where you name the file, the actual change, maybe the date. Then don't forget there should be a follow-up. There should be additional lines for, did the change work? How did it go? Comments. What could we do better to make the change work better? Was it just rebooting a server and applying upgrades? The change can be for anything. The fact that something in production is going to change, no matter how minute, there should be a change control form and a process to back it up. He goes on, three, developers should not have the ability to move changes into production. Oh, this is so important. How many times in small organizations does a developer say, hey, I'm going to make that change, and it goes into production? Google got burned by this last year. Remember that big Google outage? It was an apostrophe in the wrong place in code. It put Google down to its knees. It's lack of change control, or someone that is a developer should not have the permissions or ability to promote that into production. It should be a different team, a different person. There should be different controls. That's very important. You could tell he's an auditor. And four, there should be a regular review of changes that have been moved into production to detect if any unauthorized changes were made. This should be performed by someone outside of the development team, such as the IT manager, IT director. Evidence should be kept of this review, signed and dated, as the auditors will want to review this. Hope this helps. Regards, Haroon. You nailed this perfectly. And I wanted to wait till I had just a complete email show that I wanted to have this as part of the topic. I think it's very important. And anybody that is in IT, I don't care how big your company is, how small it is, this is important. And I think he clearly explained exactly why you would want to implement it and how you can convince management to buy into something like this. These are the things. I'm going to put my touch on this now. Think of being in a small company where you want to move up or you want opportunities. This is something that you can bring to the table to then show, hey, I want to do this. I want to help implement this. Now your value goes up because management will respect that, see that, wow, look at this. You know, this is a great idea. This is important. This makes sense. It's going to help the business. These type of recommendations are very, very important to help you keep your job, maybe have an opportunity for a promotion. It's coming up with ideas, coming up with things that can you can bring to the business that you can contribute to add value to what you're doing. And when, let me tell you, when you add value to a company, it will be recognized. And this is what will separate you. Let's say maybe it comes time for a workforce reduction. And you got Joe who brought change management and a bunch of other great ideas. And you got Peter over here who hasn't done anything like that. And it comes time where you got to lay one off. Well, who are you going to lay off? We're going to lay off Peter because Joe is a big contributor and adds value for coming up with things like this or participating, helping to make the environment better, more secure, more reliable, better to react to if your organization falls under where it has to be audited, where there are controls and compliance that has to be followed. A change management process is so important. It also gives you something to talk about in a future interview. This is the content that an IT director or IT manager wants to hear, that you have been part of one of those processes, because now it shows the care that goes into changes that you're involved in. You are already familiar with a procedure like that. Think about talking about this in a future interview. Tell me you're not going to nail that job, that IT job. I'm sorry, you are. You are going to put yourself ahead of everybody else. And it's this type of topic that motivates and really gets the juices flowing of a manager who's a hiring manager, wants to hear that you have been part of a process like this, because that's something maybe they already have in place or they want to have in place. This is a great topic. So I'll tell you, with that, I said that's a great way to close the show. That was a great email. I have some independent music I want to play. And tonight's song is by an artist who I've played in the past. And he reached out and actually sent me this song last week. And the song title is My Life. And the artist is Michael Barlow. And I'm going to have a link to his MySpace site in the show notes. Give a listen. He has a great voice. I think you're going to like it.
The whole world always has opinions about the way that I should live. You know nothing of my demons. Yeah, your opinions you will give. Label the devil for my questions. Your empty answers seem so glib. Your accustomed to the stones you're hurling, and I'm so used to how you judge. You lift me up to crucify me. You send for hate and call it love. Label the devil for my questions. Your empty answers are so smug. Your acceptance with condition that I am who you say I am. You love me or you won't. Embrace me or you don't. But I am here to tell you that I'm not here to please you. Me mindless, without a thought to call my own. Your accusations, the saddest love I've ever known. You want me spineless, with no ambitions of my own. Your inhibition won't determine my life's song.
Great voice is Michael Barlow, and it's spelled M-Y-K-E-L-L, where I'm M-I-C-H-A-E-L. So Michael Barlow, I will have a link to his MySpace site. Go over, support Michael. He has a donate button to buy his music. He has just a great voice. So I want to, we're going to hear more from him. I have another song that we'll play in a future show. That is it for tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. I will be back next week, Wednesday night, same time, same channel, and we will start to close in on the end of the year. So next week, Christmas show, not sure what the topic is, but you know, we'll definitely relate it to the holidays. That's it. I will talk to you next week. Bye bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.